restrictions apply. 702.
The Aubrey Masango Show. Let's walk the talk.
Transport Minister Cindy Siwe-Chikunga says e-toll debt will not be written off. Gauteng motorists will continue to be liable to pay their historic e-toll debts after the e-tolls are switched off in Gauteng. Minister Chikunga acknowledged that the resistance to e-tolls by motorists and other stakeholders suggested government could have consulted widely and done things differently, but said it was water under the bridge. Joining me to discuss this is Mr. Daryl Swanepoel. He's Chief Executive Officer at the Inclusive Society Institute, and he joins me now. Daryl, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate your time.
No pleasure. Good evening. Nice to be with you again.
So clearly it's not water under the bridge, because if you've got e-toll debt, you still owe. So it's not under the bridge as far as I'm concerned, as the minister says. How are we going to resolve this?
Yeah, I know there's a big problem. Let me just go one step back. How we got involved was that we as an institute are interested in ensuring constitutionality. So when we heard that the e-tolls are going to be scrapped, we said, but hang on a minute, in terms of the constitutional principle of equality and administrative justice, if you are going to write off the debt of the lawbreakers, then surely those that have paid have to be refunded, because you cannot reward the lawbreakers but not the law abiders.
Right.
So we called for a legal opinion. And when that legal opinion came, it said, we hear what you say about the constitutionality, but the issue at hand is that that question is moot, because there is no provision in law for SANRAL to write off that debt. They haven't got the legal authority to write off that debt.
Right.
And therefore, it has to be recovered from the road users. That's how we got involved with it, and that's where we stand. Now, the issue at hand here is that how do you overcome this problem?
Mm.
We are looking at the possibility of looking at retrospective invalidity, taking it to the courts and asking the courts to declare it invalid.
To declare what invalid?
The whole act.
Okay.
The whole act. Because if the act has been declared invalid, then that legal obligation to collect the money falls away, and those that have paid their toll would have paid in terms of an invalid legislation, and that would have to be repaid. But Aubrey, that in itself is problematic, in that you will recall that this bill or this act has already been taken to the Constitutional Court to test its validity, and it has been considered to be valid by the Constitutional Court.
Mm.
Now, circumstances have changed, and they may look at it differently, but that's a very tall order. The other way that SANRAL might want to walk away from it, and there are others in civil society that are insisting that people must not pay because it's not enforceable. So they may say, well, okay, we're just going to not enforce this. But if they do not enforce it, it's a managerial decision that will have to be made that they're not going to enforce it. And therefore, that is in effect a decision to write it off, and therefore it is illegal. So a right royal mess has been created in this legislation.
I ask the question that's perhaps the converse. Even if they wanted to enforce it, how would they enforce it? I mean, if they couldn't enforce it when the law was, in fact, in action, I know that it still is, strictly speaking, but before the switching off of the gantries, if they couldn't enforce it, they couldn't gather the money, which is partly the reason why the whole system fell to pieces. It's because there was a general boycott of it as far as payment was concerned. How, practically speaking, would the enforcement of the recoupment of those debt be possible?
Well, if they were wanting to enforce, and let me put it on the table straight, that our institute is not in favor of we're not against the writing off of the debt. That is not our beef.
No, yours is for those that have been paying, what happens to them, and that makes sense. Yeah,
exactly. Now, Now, if they want to enforce it, they'll have to start legal processes. And I mean, that is that in itself is a costly event and a gigantic effort that'll have to be made. But if they start systematically enforcing it, and you never know when your chance is going to come, then you might be urged to actually start paying your bill. Because I mean, if it's like a lotto, you don't know whether you're going to be the next one that's going to be taken to court or not. And you know, the problem with this, Aubrey, it's not just a civil debt that we're talking about here. It is a criminal act. If you do not pay your tolls, it is a criminal offense. That's the one thing. The second thing is there are those that are saying, you know, just hang on, let 3 years go past and it will expire. Now, the debt will expire. Now, there are two complications there. The first is expiry is only 3 years after no effort has been made to enforce. And as we sit here, Sunroll is sending out the accounts to the toll road users. I mean, I happen to pay my toll and I happen to receive my bill every month from Sunroll. So I know that they're still enforcing the repayment. So that 3 year period only kicks in from the point that Sunroll takes the decision we are no longer going to enforce, which decision would be illegal. And if such a decision were to be made, we would say, A, it's illegal, but we're not worried about the illegal. We will seek relief those that have paid must be paid back. But there is a case, the City of Johannesburg versus Renzon and Sons, where they looked at a service charge, whether that is a debt which expires after 3 years or whether it is deemed a tax. And the courts found that service charge actually indeed was a tax. And if you look at the definition of a tax, it must be compulsory, not optional. It is imposed or executed by executive authority. It is enforceable by law. It is imposed for the public benefit or public purpose. It is not for a service for a specific individual, but a service to the public as a whole. So when you look at that definition, there are those that argue that it is a tax. And the problem with that is that a tax doesn't expire after 3 years. A tax expires after 30 years. So toll road users would have this debt problem hanging over their necks for the next 30 years. Now, it is true that it's going to be difficult to enforce, but as I say, if Sunroll started to enforce, and there are those that will start insisting that Sunroll enforce, because, I mean, road users that have been paying, they feel what's fair is fair. And if Sunroll is not enforcing these and not taking people to court, then we are going to assist on getting our money back. And as soon as that action starts, Sunroll will be spurred on to start enforcing the law. And if you as an individual taxpayer do not know, am I the next victim? Then you may be, as I said, spurred on to pay, because it can have serious financial implications for you. And the longer you wait before you pay,
here's a counter argument, and this is perhaps not a legal argument, but a philosophical argument. The very regime, the very idea of e-tolls was not properly undertaken in terms of consultation. And this is based on the very admission of the minister herself, that the process was itself wrong. And consequently, the laws that were then enacted to enforce a regime that was fundamentally flawed in that way are themselves questionable laws, and that is what I'm asking is while I hear the thing that says, well, the law says, I mean, there's many laws that were in apartheid that said that we know we're wrong. Right. Yeah. So I'm arguing that the argument that says the law says on the basis of a system that we know was ill conceived and wrongly implemented, does that not in any way create an argument that says even that very law that they're going to use is subject to debate?
Yeah, well, I agree with you full-heartedly. I mean, the issue is that it was not properly consulted. The public participation processes, we believe, were flawed. I mean, we all thought that those roads, I was living in Gauteng at the time, and we all thought that those roads were being built for the Soccer World Cup. That's what we were told.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, after the Soccer World Cup, we were surprised by the fact that it's going to be told because it wasn't properly advertised, it wasn't communicated to the public properly, and that specifically was taken to the courts.
Yeah.
And that is the point that I'm saying, is that the courts actually found the act to be valid. Now we are saying that we need to sit around the table, government and civil society need to sit around the table and try and get this through. And we think, on the very point that you are making, we think that if we went to the courts and said to them, listen, it was obviously flawed, this is a major problem, it's in the national interest that we find a solution, and we are applying for this act to be declared, retrospectively declared invalid, and have a second stab at trying to do it. But I'm saying that whilst I think this is the route that you must go, as we sit here, It is in the air as to whether the court is going to rule in favor of its invalidity when they already declared it valid. The other option is you can maybe look at a presidential pardon, and these are in fact what we've just asked our legal team to get us opinion on this retrospective invalidity and a presidential pardon for its, at least the crime portion of it. And we're waiting for that. And of course we will share it. But, whilst we all agree this is wrong, and yes, the apartheid laws were also wrong, but the apartheid laws were enforced, and this law can be wrong, and it could be wrongly enforced. And I would say I would personally turn a blind eye to the non-enforcement of it. But if there's non-enforcement, then what's fair is fair, and those that have paid have to be refunded. That's my beef, and that's what we are standing for.
So shouldn't that be the call? Shouldn't that be the call on the basis that this whole thing was wrong? It was ill-conceived. It was badly, there was bad consultation, and just the whole thing was wrong. Pay the people's money back. Shouldn't that be the argument, rather than the very convoluted argument that says, oh, it's a law, those people that didn't pay must pay, and those that were paid must be given a refund. There's an agreement that the whole system was badly conceived. It was done in bad faith. Surely we should be arguing that those that did pay their ETOL should just be paid back, finish and clear.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And whilst you and I might be all excited about that route, there may be other people out there that say, no, we insist on the law being enforced. And at the end of the day, this has to be decided in the courts. And what I am saying is that the minister and Sonroll mustn't wait another, how long has this been, in 13 years or so? They mustn't wait another 13 years before we get clarity on this. They should immediately launch an action in the Constitutional Court to declare this invalid so that we can get certainty. Then at least we know what the Constitutional Court says about it. If the Constitutional Court sees reason, as we perceive a reason to be, if they perceive it and they declare it invalid, then we go the route that you and I are suggesting, and that is just declare it invalid, walk away from the debt, and those that have paid, refund them. That's the solution, but it's in the hands of the courts.
Yeah. Well, I hope it sanity prevails in all of this. It's taken many, many years to do so, and at great cost, not only to those who did pay, but also to those that have been employed on the basis of this fallacy, who may lose their jobs. We're hearing Sanral say, no, people aren't going to lose their jobs. I want to see what's going to happen. But the fact of the matter is that this thing was wrong to begin with. And those that have been paying should just be refunded, because it was wrong to begin with. We are paying all sorts of levies. We are paying all sorts of things for our roads to be maintained and improved. This was just something that was completely ill-conceived. And mine is to scream from the top of the roofs that please pay back the people that have paid, and consider this a bad job, as the minister seems to be suggesting that the water is under the bridge. But clearly it isn't, right?
And one would have thought that government or the our legislators would have learned their lesson by ensuring that that participatory democracy, which is encapsulated in our constitution, is adhered to. You cannot try and sneak legislation through secretly. You cannot put legislation through without public participation.
Yeah.
When you do things like that, we end up in the right royal mess that we are in now, where billions of rands are owed and possibly billions of rands will have to be paid back. But Aubrey, I'm afraid to say that we still have the legislature pushing through legislation, not carrying out the public participation processes correctly. And who knows what the next disaster is that's waiting to hit us.
Mr. Daryl Swanepoel, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it. Chief Executive Officer at Inclusive Society Institute. Much appreciated.